Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before your comment. This supports our ASL interpreters, participants joining by phone, and individuals who will listen to the recording. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6 and raise or lower your hand by pressing star 9. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reactions menu. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports an equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include clothing or distinguishing features and your location relative to the screen. I'll provide a brief example. This is Dr. Maggie Butler. I am a woman with shoulder-length hair. I am wearing a blazer, and I am standing indoors speaking from my office. At this time, I will read tonight's AAC agenda. Just give me one moment so I can share the screen. Please let me know when my screen is visible.
It's there now.
All right, thank you so much. So at 5:30 p.m., we'll call to order the meeting to order and roll call. 5:35, approval of agenda, prior meeting minutes, and board report. At 5:40 p.m., we'll have comments from Nakia Bradley, Senior Director of Emergency Preparedness, focused on emergency preparedness here at Metro. At 6:15 p.m., we'll have comments from myself. I'm providing a system-wide accessibility update. At 6:45 p.m., we'll have public comments. At 7 p.m., we'll have bus and rail subcommittee reports. And then at 7:15 p.m., the Metro Access Subcommittee report. And then at 7:30, adjournment. We will now proceed with the roll call. When your name is called, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowlmaster.
I'm here.
Thank you. Darnice Bush. Tino Calabia, Vanessa Coles,
Present. I'm on my cell phone and then in 2184.
thank you, Rico Dancy, Tawan Farmer. I think I do see him on the call. Debbie Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Present.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Swatha Nanda Kumar.
I'm here.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present, and just a reminder that last month was MS Awareness Month. Didn't
Thank
want to lose it now that we're in April, but maybe the president can put it in the report.
you. Thank you for that, Dr. Posner. Sarah Rod.
I am here, but in a place where I can't really speak very much. So I will be listening. I'm not sure if I'll be talking very much.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Summerfort. Chair Sheehan.
Here.
And Philip Weinthrop. All right, and I'm just going to go back to Mr. Rico Dancy. I see he's on the call.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. All right, at this time, I will turn the meeting over to Chair Sheehan to proceed with the agenda. Chair Sheehan, you have the floor.
Very good. And I think Philippa just joined the call also.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, first up, I'd like to have an approval for the agenda. Do I have any additions or corrections to this agenda? Hearing none, any objections to approving the agenda as presented? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next, we'll jump to the minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes as they were presented?
This is Sandy Neuzel. I have a small correction on page 7 at the bottom where it refers to signage at ground level. It should really read signage at arm's length or face level.
Okay, Sandy, good. Thank you. Any other additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
So moved.
Thank you, Phil. Do I have a
Second.
thank you for the second. Okay. Any other no other additions to the minutes? Good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Okay. Minutes are approved. Board report is next. Do I have any additions to the board report or corrections to the board report as submitted? I don't see my favorite Paul here to make his usual amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Thank you, Mr. Phil.
in addition to Paul's additional amendment, which is to keep it approved pending any emergencies that come up. And secondly, to please remind the board about MS month in
Yes,
March.
I will. Thank you, Phil. Absolutely. Good. With those items put forth, do I have a approval for the, or can I have a motion to accept the board report as amended?
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Steve. Hearing no objections, the board report will be approved as possibly amended or as we have it now. Thank you. So we have next Nikki Bradley to talk to us about emergency preparedness. An emergency preparedness training. This was subject was brought up last fall. We've talked a little bit about it in January, I believe. We would like to get involved in emergency preparedness to be able to give insights as to what we can expect as far as people with disabilities and all kinds of areas and arenas, and give our expertise to the people who are putting this together. Nikia, thank you so much for coming to our group, and I will give you the floor now to speak. Thank you.
Chair Sheehan, give me one moment. Let me just
Okay.
make sure she has access.
I thought I heard her come on earlier.
I did not. I don't see her
Oh.
just, but we were talking a little earlier, so hold on a second.
Okay.
He is joining shortly.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you. And I gave such a great introduction. Thank you, Maggie.
All right, she is.
Nikki, with us?
Hello, how are
Hi,
you
Nikki.
all?
I'm good. So I gave a great introduction a few minutes ago. Anyway, let me just reintroduce you. Nikki Bradley is Senior Emergency Preparedness Director. We have been talking about emergency preparedness since last fall. Had some issues and incidents, and again in January, and our thought and our what we would like to do to assist is to be able to explain how you can integrate successfully people with disabilities into the emergency preparedness training. Would love to know what you do and how you do it. So would love to be an asset so that people with disabilities can be represented in the training, and so that we can interface with the trainers to give them lived experiences as to what they can expect as far as issues that might come up with a range of disabilities. So, Nikia, thank you for coming to us. We appreciate you. This is a very relevant and interesting topic for this group. You have the floor.
All right, good evening, all. So glad to be back with you a second time. So I have a few slides for us. Give me just a moment to pull them up or pull it up because I only have one. All right. I think if one thing I know we talked about last meeting was the ability to be able to have you all come to our facility to visit the training facility. Can we talk about what month that would be good to do that? Is that next month or maybe June to do a site visit? Any thoughts to when would be a good time to have everyone out?
I'm thinking that June might be good. That way we could certainly clear our schedules. But I will, committee, it's kind of open to you. Oh, good.
Mr.
Thank you for joining,
Chair,
Phil. Yes, Phil
where
Posner.
is the facility located? Because that will maybe affect what's the best time to go.
So it is at the Carmen Turner facility. We would have you all meet us at New Carrollton Station, and then we would provide a shuttle over to the Carmen Turner facility.
And I think a bunch of us had been at that facility earlier to look at the signage production and what was going on and where it was and all of that. As part of that facility, maybe you could give us a little bit of information as to what goes on there, how it's used, who trains there, that sort of thing, so that we could get some idea. I'm
So in
We got
the
one vote for
building.
June.
Oh.
So if we looked at J June, what can we expect from the facility? And then maybe others can jump in the chat or something like that to get a consensus of who would like to come.
So in
Okay.
building F of the facility, we have three things that we like to show folks. So mainly we like to show in building F, it's called a rollover train. And that train is at a 90, about a 90 or like a off tilt angle. And it's to show the equilibrium with firefighters of how they're able to provide rescue if we had a derailment or if it had come off the rails. We also have a 6K rail car where we teach firefighters and internal employees how to evacuate off of the train. So, like how to go down the ladder, how to use an E-Tech cart. That we would not smoke it up while you all were there, but we also are able to smoke out the tunnel and they could have real conditions that would simulate fire and smoke. We also have a kiosk where we are able to train station managers as well. And then lastly, third rail, and we teach firefighters how to hot stick and put down wasads so that if Metro employees are not there fast enough, they could still get down there and secure the rail so that it's safe for them to do rescue or be able to provide emergency aid for people. So that's the main four things that you can see at our CTF training facility in regards to emergency preparedness.
Other areas that other areas that so those would be the main areas that you would focus on as far as training.
Correct.
And so these are rail operators, train operators, I guess, that receive the training. Can you
Yes,
talk
that's
about
correct.
that a little bit right now? You know, what you do right now as far as training is concerned.
So what we do now, every Tuesday, we have fire departments come in and they are able to do the training where they have scenarios to rescue. So one of those scenarios, for example, would be if a someone was train surfing, they would be able to show how to look for someone who has fallen in between maybe two train cars, they're under the train or on top of the train, and how they look for them, and be able to do that also for fire and smoke, how to also again rescue in heavy smoke when it's hard visibility or hard to breathe. And then lastly, like I said before, showing people how to get on and off the train, how to open the doors, how to go pull out the ladders, how to use the E-Tech cart, which is the cart you would use if there was mobility or if you use a wheelchair, how you would evacuate the train. So they're taught how to use the E-Tech cart, how to put it onto the tracks and get it to the train.
And the other part of unopening the doors. The mechanisms for opening a door in case it's stuck or won't open. I know we have
Correct.
issues with that.
So there's an additional way that there's a panel for the fire department that they're trained how to open that panel and be able to manually open the doors, which is a bit different from the emergency pull door that you would use as a passenger.
And I've never seen that before. You
Yeah.
say an emergency. Pull, you said?
Yes. So when you come out to visit, we'll be able to show you that. The video
Good.
also shows that as well. We have the 1 minute video about how to evacuate a rail car, and it shows it in the video as well.
I haven't had a chance to look at that video, but I'll take a look at that. That's great. Phil, your hand is raised. I guess we can go to questions now. Is that appropriate?
Sure.
Phil. Your hand is
Yes.
raised. Go ahead.
Yes, Maggie, that looks neat. But the most important thing that I think about is communications. And are they trained in communicating with cognitive, visual, hearing, low vision, and also the concept of for people using disability devices, that the device is part of the person. So wheelchairs, canes, walkers, and animals
Service animal,
should
Phil?
not be used as hand grabs or whatever. So yes, that's
So,
my question,
thank you, Phil.
communications.
Yep, we are working on developing additional communication sensitivity training is one of them. Additionally, we are working to update the video I sent out. That one's about 10 years old. So we're going to update the training video that is external facing as well. One of the questions I have for us today is what other type of materials would we like to see? I know there was a discussion about a printed materials. On those printed materials, would it be safety tips? What type of things would we want to share on those printed materials so we can prepare some to be able to bring them to this working group to review with us and provide some feedback. So I wanted some ideas about what type of things I know what we've used in the past, but if there's suggestions, I'd like those as well, so we can bring you a suite of things to look at, more
Okay.
than just what we've already previously used.
As when you do printed materials, I will suggest that you do them one raised letter braille and also in international signage and language. The most frequent that we will see of our visitors are going to be Spanish, Portuguese, French. They have them available in those languages for communication.
Yes,
Okay.
DC has six recognized languages. We are aware of that and are looking to be able to translate. I know we do have that 1 minute video. We have that in Spanish as well. And so we were looking to definitely at least do it in English and Spanish, but we can see which other ones we're able to do as well. I think I'm not sure. Six
As a
languages, but
suggestion,
probably top
the
three.
Library of Congress has that in their visitors department for all the people that come to Capitol Hill. And I think it's going to be important because you don't want to evacuate in a Chinese fire drill, as we used to call it.
Understood. Yes. So, next meeting, I will have some printed materials that we are looking at to be able to get your the group's opinion on. So
Okay,
I
and
see quite
Nikki,
a few hands
yeah,
raised. Yeah.
thank you. Let me jump to some more hands. But what I'm sensing, Nikki, is that this is the beginning of the relationship, and so we would like to be able to work with you. I think, of course, see what you have as you present it to us, and then recommend things, down the line as we see certain ways that things might be improved a little bit for people with disabilities. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Steve Caffin,
Please.
black hair principally, and I'm wearing a blue three-button shirt today. Three quick questions. Is there training for the station managers and the train operators and bus operators regarding the way to make announcements such that the announcements, particularly in reverberating places or difficult to hear places, are understandable? I find myself that if announcements are too fast or unclear, I don't get them. And I'm wondering if there's training that focuses on that.
They do not have standardized announcements or training that's a part of that, but that is feedback I can pass on for you. I know last meeting that I spoke with you all, one of the good suggestions I got were about not using the middle door at night on buses. And I was able to do a safety hotline and pass that information on and get some feedback. So definitely happy to pass that on and see what type of response I can bring back to our group.
Okay, not to monopolize time, let me be quick. Particularly in the stations, I doubt if many people can understand the announcements because of the rapidity that the normal cadence that the station managers use versus the slow cadence required. My second question is regarding speed bumps. A good number we dealt with bicycle lanes and the danger that persons with disabilities and seniors potentially deal with. And with respect to bicycle lanes, we talked about speed bumps to ensure that the bicycles and now motorized scooters, unfortunately, slow down when they get to crossing points where people, particularly our constituents, need more time to cross from the sidewalk onto these islands. Where has that gone?
So I would think with speed bumps, that would be more of a DDOT question. I don't think Metro has the ability, to influence what happens with speed bumps. But I would think that's definitely a DDOT question, and maybe I can coordinate with Maggie to find us a representative to come and have a chat with you all.
Oh,
And
that'd be
yeah,
great.
Steve, I've got about eight other hands too. So I'm not quite sure how much we can have a discussion on each point because I want to try to get through
Sure,
everybody.
sure.
Yeah. And your third question, Steve? Are
No.
we good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Thanks,
And we
Steve.
are going to we're going to have an ongoing relationship here, I can see with Nikia. This is good. This is excellent. Thank you very much for the good questions. And I can't remember eight people in a row. Who
I
was
think
after Steve?
it was Rico, I think maybe next.
Oh, I think Rico is down the list a little bit.
Oh, down the list a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throb is next.
Who was next?
Philip.
Oh, Philip. Okay.
I have actually two questions. First of all, I always want to know how if they when they when there is an emergency where they have to get people off train really fast, or they have to, or have people walk down, have to walk down the tracks or anything. Can you, first of all, speak to them in a calm manner, because there's people like have like autism who might get scared of like when somebody's like talking loud, and also, and then also that, and that another thing is that they speak in plain language, so everybody especially can hear understand what they need to do.
Good,
So
Philip. Excellent suggestions. You've
yes,
got
and
the.
I think those are things that we're working on. I know someone mentioned a few minutes ago about station messages. If you notice, a lot of those have been more electronic messaging versus the station manager making announcements. We've been able to pre-package some announcements so that it sounds with the same cadence and are much clearer than our previous announcements. So that is something maybe we can look at for emergency preparedness as well. Is there something we can use like a pre-recorded message or something like that to go over the speaker of the train the same way?
Okay, great. Thank you. Next.
Next
I don't
we
know if it was
have,
Vanessa
but
or.
it's Vanessa Cole,
Very
phone
good.
number ending in 2184.
Okay. Vanessa?
Yes, hi. Yes, hi. I'm Vanessa, African American, middle age. I have my hair in layers and I'm wearing a t-shirt. So my questions, well, my concern, I guess maybe, is are these procedures the same for any type of emergency, i.e. a bomb, threat, or igniting, or active killer, shooter, I mean. Are these procedures all the same, or is it different methods?
Generally, all of our emergency procedures are all hazards. One, because we don't want to start a panic. Two, repetitive practice to the same type of as assessing, alerting, and acting tend to make response similar and keeps people organized as they evacuate. So yes. They are generally the same instructions. Either you're going to evacuate, you're going to shelter in place, and at, for example, an active shooter, if it's the run, hide, fight, you run and evacuate. If you can't, you shelter in place and hide. And then, but if only means the only option left, then you fight.
And Nikki, the group that we're working with here is not just not just WMATA personnel, but aren't we also working with other law
Law
enforcement
enforcement, yes.
and firefighters, so that the messaging all has to be consistent with not just Metro individuals, but all three, what is it, three or four different groups you work with, correct?
Correct. And so we mainly work with law enforcement and fire departments. We do work with emergency management and naturally all of our federal partners. FBI, Secret Service, and so forth because of the district.
So all of those would have input into some of this emergency training, but everyone has the same list of things that have to be
Similar,
done, right?
correct. And we use similar messaging, like the run, hide, fight, shelter in place, the languaging, and all hazard evacuations are similar, so that we all are singing this from the same sheet of music.
Okay, and then we go back, of course, to the first thing that Phil brought in was communication, and communication within these groups and between these groups could be important too. Okay. Vanessa,
Thank you.
I sort of stepped on your toes. Did you complete
Oh,
your
no, that was fine. No,
good?
exactly. That was exactly. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank
great.
you.
Good. Who's up next?
We have Debbie Fisher.
Debbie, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. I am not on the screen, so I won't describe myself. This is a follow-up, really, from the two, Phil and Philip. My concern is there are people who are going to be so anxious they will not move. And to be sure that there are strategies in place to assist them, they will be so frightened that they will, in their panic, be afraid to do anything and be difficult and resistant to changing their location. So that's my first concern in the training. And then the second, a response to some feedback to the training video, which I was able to watch. I find that that it's very fast. The description is very quick. And so for people who have difficulty following both the spoken and the written word, there if it can be if the speed of the training tape can be adjusted in addition to other forms of communication, I think that would be very helpful because for it needs to move at a pace that people can absorb and understand each step before moving on. And I would say being mindful of the instructions being presented at in steps as opposed to sort of a run-on of instructions.
So you're looking at maybe a piece of a video and then hitting the continue button, let's say, and proceeding to the next part of the video, perhaps
Well,
something like that.
I was, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so we do have a longer version of the video. There's a 1 minute version and a 3 minute version. And the 3 minute version, they do move a bit slower. There's more additive information into it. And then there's a 1 minute version that kind of hits the high points. So definitely I can take the feedback for the longer version, the 3 minute version. I think speed of voice is truly important. Maybe outlining some numbering into it. We just did that recently with an internal video with assess, alert, and act, and actually putting the words come up on screen for you that say assess, and then it stops for the person to talk about it. And it's like alert, and then it talks about it, right? So I think, Debbie, that's great feedback. We can add some similar things into the 3 minute version just to give it more clarity. That folks are following along with the instruction or the main points of the video. Thank you.
That's great. The other thought was if a person can actually themselves vary the speed at which it's moving, so that you can slow it down if you need more time to absorb it or move it at regular speed. That's what I was thinking about in terms of the pacing of it. And then the idea of do this and then that, the more almost linear people can follow, it sometimes removes the decision making that people get caught up with in an emergency situation. And so clearly you've got a procedure that is in order. And the more you can emphasize that. So I was thinking, first do this, the second step is this, the third step is that, and so forth.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. And I don't know if this would be helpful, Debbie. I could be totally out of order, but maybe on the video player having the ability to go back 10 seconds in case you missed that particular place in the video, and you being able to pause it and go back and forward. I think you see that a lot on YouTube as far as some of the video players.
Yeah, and also you see it like on audiobooks where you can do it slower or you can do it faster, so it can be done at 1.5 time or two time or half time or whatever.
Or triple
But for
time
there
for
are people
fast,
who just need to absorb the information as they're moving along. And then I don't want to leave out the importance of distressing in the training of the first responders that people understand what happens for some people when they're in that kind of a stress situation, and they literally get caught in the position they're in, and moving them along, pushing them along does not facilitate a safe and easy exit. So, having a strategy for assisting becomes really important.
Thank you, Debbie. And maybe Nikki, one of the things perhaps in a lot of these instances we're bringing up is that you could come back with a draft video and say, "Hey, is this what you guys were thinking?" Rather than come back with something all, that you say is all polished, ready to go, and go, "No, we don't like that." I mean, that which isn't fun for anybody, actually. But bringing us into the picture and letting us assist with a little more of that, little less of this would be great.
Happy to do it.
Good, that's great.
We all could use two or three, 10 set of eyes to help you get
Beautiful. Okay,
it right.
that's wonderful. That'd be something that would be really useful, and I'd be pleased to report that kind of collaboration with to the board. That's wonderful. Good. Maggie, I'm sorry.
We
I'm all
have
lost here.
Swathnath next.
Swatha is next.
Okay,
Hi,
hi
Swatha.
Nikki. Hi Nikki. This is Swatha. Indian, black hair tied in a ponytail, black shirt. So I have two questions. I have two questions. First one is in the training center, at New Carrollton. So you mentioned that you can simulate a tunnel, but you also have ways to simulate like having to evacuate on like an elevated track, like over the river or up above the ground as well there.
We do not. As I was saying with Vanessa's question earlier, we train to all hazards. And strategies are different depending on where we're rescuing you from, which is this is a great question. For example, Forest Glen, it's our deepest station. It's 20 stories underground. Our normal path to rescue people from there is not the stairs. We would actually use a rescue train and back up another train to that one and move passengers from one train to the next. That's actually faster than ever sending anyone up 20 flights of stairs. We all know that 20 flights of stairs is a lot, even for anybody. I got winded after five. So it's a lot of stairs. Also, there's other training that we do in that particular station as well, too. That the elevator is an approved way to evacuate out of Forest Glen. And there's two different stops that you can go that if we did have people that went up the stairs, it can stop at the fifth floor and the 10th floor and pick people up as well if you happen to get in the stairwell before you went into the secure location. So there are different strategies for different locations. Some of that is not necessary. We train our firefighters and our employees to it, but not necessarily the public, naturally, because people could use some of the information that's shared in a harmful way. But there are different strategies depending on where you are. And so we will take firefighters out to a Forest Glen or Wheaton, which has the longest escalator, and do specialized training with them so that those fire departments are aware of how to evacuate should they need to at those particular stations. Great
Okay.
question.
Great.
Of
Thank you,
course.
Swatha.
And one question and follow up to that. In the video, it says like the announcement says like to exit on the side of the lights or side or side of sidewalk or the pull lever or the buttons. Are those placed in consistent locations? Like, can you like tell someone like, okay, when you're underground, exit your right, and like it's like that? Is that for somebody who's blind who can't really see the lights or can't tell like where the pavement is when they get off, like when they immediately like get off train? That would be helpful to know that.
They would not self-evacuate. There is firefighter or a metro employee that would be there to assist anyone with getting off the train. So you wouldn't, no one would self-evacuate. So you definitely would know which side to get off on, and then also what the platform, or if you're evacuating onto the train tracks, you would have a clear indication of what that would be before you exited the train. There would be someone to assist you. Even the train operator will come back through the train. Like, for example, if you were disabled in a tunnel, the train operator walks the full length of the train, counts everyone on the train, sees if everyone's okay. And that way they can communicate back to our communication center what the status is on the train. That's also how they know if someone has function or access needs and needs additional assistance to be rescued. As I mentioned last time I came to visit, I was like, well, if I used a wheelchair, am I last to get out? You are not. We need to know that you need an ETEC cart first, and they're usually the first to evacuate, not the last, because that cart needs to be able to push down the train tracks. And if people are on the train track, it won't be able to move. So if we need to use an ETEC cart, they're evacuated first. So those kind of things are details that we share with first responders, but not necessarily the public for safety reasons.
Okay, thank you.
And the other thing I was going to say, Swatha, is I'm sure that the video has closed captioning, but I would also add that we would like, I'm sure, to be able to put in audio description, which I
Oh,
think
yes, that would
certainly
help a lot.
would help us. Yeah, and I have, I know some people that can do that kind of thing. I talked to Maggie about that, but would happy to do that. And that's, of course, able to be turned on and off with a good video player. If you need the audio description, that's great. If you don't, you don't enable it. Same thing with
Good.
captioning.
That's
Or
the
is
number one
there
reason why
information?
we post these on YouTube, because YouTube allows all of that. The speed up, the slow down, go back 10 seconds, pause. Also, the audio description, the video, the 1 minute video you watch is through YouTube, and you're have that ability to do that right now.
Great. We've got some resources that we could help if you need some in those areas. Excellent. Maggie, who's next? Thank you, Swatha.
Oh, sorry about that. One second, my chat is escaped me. Now we have Rico Dancy.
Rico?
Yes. You took my question. Thank you, Chairman. You took my question about the cursed cappers, okay? We deal with law enforcement training. Are we going to teach them how to if a person is deaf, a deaf person, or a hard of hearing person, or a deaf blind person? I know guided that have a lot of deaf or hard of hearing students there. Are we going to be teaching the law enforcement how to deal with people who cannot hear?
Yes, there again, we're working to develop a sensitivity training just to assure that that is taught within Metro. I know that they have some general training, but I think we can improve it. It needs improvement. So, same thing when we talked about assuring if someone is scared and needs some extra time, we have crisis interventionists that have specialized training to be able to interact. To assure that it's they have someone who is trained to assist them and not just kind of pushed along as mentioned before. So there are some specialized training, but I also think there needs to be more generalized sensitivity training that, again, it needs work. I
Right, and
think it really needs work.
you have subject matter experts such as
That's right.
Rico, who you can, take a look at it and give it a thumbs up or whatever we need to do to improve it. and which is great. Also, the same, and I've heard from this group also that have service animals, guide dogs, all that kind of stuff. They would love to be part of being able to look at the training and let people know, what a service animal is, how it works, and that sort of thing too. So, however we fit that into training, that would be great. Not
What
maybe
about
not so
weather?
much emergency preparedness, let's say, but at least the sensitivity training would be excellent. Very good. Nikki, are you sad you came to our group? We're giving you a rubber
No, not
arm.
at all.
This is good.
This is what makes committees lively. I
Yeah,
enjoy
that's
this.
it. No, this is good. Maggie, how are we doing? Who's next? I couldn't quite get that, Maggie.
Marcy,
Oh,
that's
Marcy.
Marcy.
Thank you, Marcy. You're up next.
The elderly woman with gray hair and I'm wearing the gray t-shirt. My quick response is, when you do the training, to let the people know that people have speech difficulty and they need to take time to hear what the person is saying.
I think that's an excellent point, Marcy. Just to repeat back, Marcy's question is that folks need additional training to take time to for folks that need more time to understand, but also be able to communicate back. When there's an emergency. Totally agree. I think these are strong things that we can work on in our sensitivity training, especially with our station managers and our operators, knowing that if there's an emergency, hey, if someone's not responding to you, give it just a few seconds. Hey, were you trying to speak? And give them an opportunity to communicate. So agreed. I think that is definitely a well-mentioned point. And that people don't take the time, they just kind of pass over, but you just didn't have a chance to speak. Also maybe some tips or ideas to make communication maybe a signal or something that we could provide that if you do need extra time that we know that you need extra time. I think in an emergency, everyone's moving so fast, but if there's maybe a cue or something or a color or something we can pull together. I think that's some good brainstorming as a group that we could do of some what could be some good communication cues that if you need extra time that we could share. Or if there's something already out there that's more publicly used, let me know. I think that's a great point. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you.
Very good.
Chair Sheehan, that was our last hand
All
raise.
right. Well, I think we have had quite the discussion, Nikki. Yeah, this has just been terrific. I did see some dates. I think
Yes.
everyone liked June, maybe the end of June. When you do these, I think this may. It seems to me like this may be an ongoing thing, first of all. When we do the training out in the New Carrollton, Carmen Turner Center, maybe you could see what days would work for you. Give us maybe 3 or 4 days, something from the 16th of June on, let's say, over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
See what would work for you. I don't know how many people can free up the time. I don't know if it would be a 2 hour thing or a 3 hour thing or whatever, but I think it might be good to get ongoing, this scheduled maybe a few times a year so that we can get members of the committee a chance to take a look at what you're doing, how you're doing it. And then I guess since I saw two things, sensitivity training and emergency preparedness training. And it looks like they're two similar documents or programs or whatever, which I think we would be happy to work with you on. I think this, as I learned right now, there's a lot of expertise on this committee
Yes.
and points of view that I had not taken into account. And I think it'd be valuable
So I think what
to
I can
yeah.
what I would like to do for our next meeting is send some more read aheads. I think thank you everyone who took the time to look at the video. I truly appreciate that. Those are the that's the kind of feedback I do need that helps our videos and our products come out better. I'll like to share some printed materials for next meeting for everyone to provide feedback. I'm happy to hear everything if it's something where we need bigger print, or the colors don't work, or maybe better pictures or graphics. I love some of the feedback I heard earlier. Make it a 1, 2, 3, and what are my sequential steps? Things like that are excellent feedback for us. The Braille, I saw years ago where there was an emergency preparedness infographic, and it had a Braille right on top of it. So they were, it was almost like they had the same look and feel as someone who was visual could see it versus someone who couldn't. And I love that. And I would definitely like to do some products like that. So.
Sure. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. Appreciate the partnership, and we will look forward to your material. If you want to send us some dates, let's say after the 16th of June, that where we could come down, and I don't know what your time frame is, time frames are as far as, letting us see the center and all that, but we'll be happy to work with you on that, and we'll work through Maggie, and try to get down there as many of us as we can. Let's say by third week in June, something like
All
that.
right,
Good,
sounds like a plan.
excellent.
I'll send some dates and times out. And thank you all for providing me feedback and give me a chance to share my initiative with you.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
Okay. Oh my goodness, that was good. Thank you, everybody. That was a very lively, good discussion. I think we've got some work ahead of us, but I think in the end we're going to come out with a good product, and I think WMATA will appreciate the expertise of this group. Dr. Butler, I think you are up next with your system-wide accessibility briefing for us. I think you had, according to what I read, four or five topics that you wanted to go over.
That is correct. So let me just prep my screen to share with you all. Okay, let me see. All right, can you let me know if you can see my screen?
Yep, it's up now.
All right, thank you so much. Well, good evening again, everyone. I'd like to provide some updates regarding system-wide accessibility and highlight some of our upcoming engagement opportunities as well as project status items. Right. So the first Metro is preparing to launch the modernized WMATA.com website later this spring, later May, as part of the authority's commitment to ensure our public-facing materials are accessible. We are supporting customer experience focused on a round of customer accessibility testing to supplement the automated and vendor testing that's already underway. So we are working to identify up to 5 volunteers from the AAC committee to participate in a facilitated testing session focused on key user journeys. We are seeking individuals who regularly use assistive technologies with representation across both mobile and desktop use to help surface real-world accessibility and usability considerations. So testing is expected to take place in mid-April with feedback consolidated shortly thereafter, so around the 17th of April, so that findings can be addressed ahead of the launch. This engagement is intended to supplement, not replace other formal testing efforts. So in addition, the project team hosting the testing is requesting time on the May 4th AAC meeting agenda to engage directly with the committee to share updates on the WMATA.com modernization and Metro Pulse updates and respond to any questions ahead of the launch. So I'm going to stop here and open it up for any questions that you may have about that update.
I have one. This is Pat. And I never describe myself. Senior white male with dark sweatshirt on, sitting in my office. Very comfortable, I might add. Who can you share with us the name of the vendor who is doing the testing?
I cannot share that information
Okay.
today,
Okay. Not a
but
problem.
we can share that at a later time with
Yeah,
you
we'll
all.
find out. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out next month. Great. Having done this at Department of Veterans Affairs for a number of years, I'm curious as to who the vendor is and how they have and how they're doing their testing. But I will raise my hand to be one of the five people. I'd love to be able to test, and I use screen reading and also voiceover. So I can do, as a blind person, do a little bit of testing here, but it'll be interesting to see how it all fits in with what's already being done.
And I'll say if other members are not available, but you have a member of the public that you would like to recommend, there
Well,
the
yeah.
opportunity is open for them as well.
Good. I have one person I'd love to recommend. He doesn't know it yet, but he'll find out. Anyway, okay, I'm good. Thank you, Maggie.
All right, no problem. So, in addition to the modernization of the website, we also have a few additional requests for lived experience engagements. One is coming from our wayfinding colleagues. They are seeking individuals who utilize wheelchairs or other mobility devices to participate in the upcoming wayfinding site visit that is scheduled for mid-May to provide as much opportunity and diversity in the lived experience as possible, as it pertains to the navigation feedback. And then lastly, there is a future Metro bus engagement. And so we're also looking ahead, to identify AAC members who are primarily Metro bus riders to support that effort when scheduled. So we don't have a lot of intel about the activity just yet, but we were asked to secure or identify individuals who utilize Metro bus, because we have an upcoming engagement for those individuals.
Maggie, I'm willing to be involved with the Metro bus engagement.
Excellent, Steve. I had you in mind, but I wanted to ask.
Steve, we were going to draft you
I
if you didn't come forward.
Oh,
I'm sorry, was that swap?
sorry. I'm interested too in the bus and Metro bus. That testing.
Maggie, I would have to get involved also.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I'm taking names down as you speak. Okay. All right. So our next item, change my screen. Okay, here we go. Next item is the title for demographic reporting from our EEO colleagues. So EEO is required under Title IV to report demographic information, including race and ethnicity and gender, for advisory committee members to the Federal Transit Administration, using the U.S. Census Bureau categories. So, AAC members, you are invited to complete a brief anonymous survey, Individual responses are not identifiable. Information is reported only in aggregate, and participation supports federal reporting and accurate representation of the advisory committee. So you may have seen a survey from me maybe last week. So if you haven't had the opportunity to submit your response, please do so as soon as possible so we can share that information with the FTA. Any questions about that engagement?
I didn't get that. I checked my email. I didn't get that, Maggie, at all. Could you
I'll be
resend that out? Yeah.
Yes, I will
Okay.
resend that.
This is Vanessa. I did see it and I did respond. And I also would like to volunteer for the first one that you for screen sharing or
What, the website?
accessibility. Yes.
Website, yeah.
Yes, I can volunteer for that as well. Yes.
Okay,
Thank you
good.
so much. And thank you for your submission. And I will resend that survey tonight,
Great.
everyone.
Thank you.
All right. So the next update is about the restroom programs. So Metro intends to share restroom-related information with the public over the next 2 to 3 months. Ahead of the public engagement, Metro is going to provide a briefing to the AAC and the Rider Advisory Council. We did have some, our executives did have some engagement with the board relating that topic. And so our next steps is to brief the AAC and the Rider Advisory Council. So just make sure, I just want to make sure you're aware that we might need to adjust the timeline. But as of today, we're scheduled to engage the public 2 to 3 months from today. And then you all are being will be scheduled for a briefing along with the Rider Advisory Council. And we do have biweekly meetings as we're preparing. This is a system-wide engagement. We have a lot of departments involved, and so we're just trying to make sure we have a coordinated engagement and that every consideration and equity is at the center of this program. Right, any questions about the restroom program update? All right, hearing none, I'm going to move to the Metro Access feasibility study. And this also includes the reduced fare card as well, replacement fee. All right, so the recommendations have been received as of last week, and an internal meeting is scheduled for this week, midweek, to review the findings and discuss the next steps. Based on those conversations, a briefing for the AAC is planned tentatively for later this month, pending the final coordination with the internal stakeholders. The feasibility study also, of course, included the reduced fare card replacement fee, which was raised by a member of the public. So, want to make sure that you are aware both of those will be incorporated, and we are anticipating sharing an update with you this month ahead of our board engagement.
Are we looking for that, Maggie, with the maybe the Metro Access meeting?
So, we can do that. It's up to you all where you want the briefing to host, be hosted. If you want it in Metro Access, we can definitely do that.
Committee, what do you think?
This is Paul Stimmelfort. Of course, I can host that in conjunction with some of the other things that we will discuss during my report out period.
Right, but I think this is would be a primary. May have to bump a few things if we put it at the subcommittee level, depending upon how long the report would be. But I think that would be the most flexible place to go. I wouldn't want to wait till the next AAC meeting, so I'm thinking that's where it should go.
Yeah, definitely that, and the other one we discussed in executive session. Those two alone will be the entire meeting, probably.
Okay.
The executive session, Paul? Oh,
Yeah,
that.
remember? Yeah,
Yeah,
that
okay. That.
that, yeah, that, That needs to be discussed at the next
Okay.
meeting.
Right.
You know what
Okay.
I'm talking
Yeah, I got you on that one, Paul. Okay. I'm a little
about.
slow sometimes.
Yeah, those two alone will comprise probably the entire meeting.
Okay, good. All right. I think we've got a decision there, Maggie.
Okay,
Good. We're
excellent.
good.
And so I still have one other item I was not able to share in my talking points to you all earlier, but I wanted to make sure I verbally mentioned it. So we did receive a request from the International Code Council to participate in a video for Building Safety Month in May. So the focus is on accessibility, specifically the ADA and building code, and highlighting Metro's accessibility features. They're asking for Metro to speak to our system-wide features, while their partner, Marsha Maas, some of you may know her, the Director of Accessibility Codes and Standards from the United Spinal Association, will speak to the technical code details. So the video would showcase Metro's accessibility achievements and is intended to be informal and educational. So just wanted to share that with you all.
I'll have a comment on that. I've been working with Marsha Maas for 4 years with the American National Standards Institute, and I know she's part of the International Building Code Group. We've got a couple other people that are working on that right now, working with the sign industry and making sure they're accessible. So this is really interesting, and Marsha actually has a history with this committee back in the 80s, I believe it was. She chaired it for about 10 years. So it's good to have her involved. She's extremely intelligent, worked with the Access Board for 10 years and basically wrote the Section 508 regulation. So anyway we can engage Marsha, she's good people.
Now, I have to thank you and Sandy for your engagement with her and for her to even think about Metro. So thank you all for that.
Good.
And then in closing, I just wanted to say we appreciate you all's continued engagement and insights. And so your feedback will remain essential to our efforts to improve accessibility across the services and our customer-facing program. So we look forward to expanding our system-wide accessibility in partnership with the AAC and subcommittees.
All right, thank you. Any
Very well.
questions for Maggie? All right, Maggie. Thank you, Dr. Butler. Appreciate
You're
that.
very welcome.
And
And this is
we need.
Sandy.
I think there might be a question.
Yes, Sandy.
I can't find the right button, and then I can't even find the unmute. Maggie,
Yes.
I'm trying to make sure that I understood it. There's still going to be a site visit to the L'Enfant Plaza
Yes.
where the AAC and the RAC are invited simultaneously, or.
I'm not sure about the RAC. I
Okay.
know that Customer Experience is hosting you all and members of the public.
Okay.
And that's going to be mid-May because they are going to be posting all of the signage in April this month. And then they're expecting to invite you all over mid-May so that you can walk the site. But what they are asking, if we could identify individuals who utilize wheelchairs and other assistive devices, because they want to make sure they're a part of that engagement as well.
Okay, thank you. And as soon as you have a date, can you let us know, or should we be telling you when we can't come? I mean,
Oh, you
so.
could do that as well.
Yeah.
But we were meeting with that group biweekly as well. But if you want to give us your availability, and I can send out something, a survey that you all can complete, and then we can share that with them to coordinate the site visit.
Okay. In the meantime, though, the new signage will be going up in April. So, of course, anybody can stop by, go through the station, and take a look.
Yes.
Okay.
But you all will have a private viewing.
A private viewing with all the commuters and people traveling on the train at the same time. Yes. Thank you, Maggie.
Right. Good. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate that. Yeah, we've got A couple interesting ones coming up, I can see. Excellent. Any other questions? All right. We are at public comment. I think we're pretty much on time too. So I think we're doing well. Let's see, members of the public who would like to address the AAC. Generally, we give 2 minutes for public comments. Do we have any hands raised?
Not at the moment.
Wow, that's a quiet group.
Well, it
If
looks like we.
I said a word, maybe I could get some people to talk.
Chair, she hand. It looks like Rico has his hand up.
Okay, and I was going to ask, maybe put somebody on the spot. I don't know who, about Tim, and see what people's, or at least Mr. Blake, if you wanted to be put on the spot, and what you're hearing about your rollout with Tim. Let's first go to Rico, and then why don't we see if I just open Pandora's box?
Do we want to open
Oh,
that
I
yet?
think,
Oh,
according to
don't.
what I've heard, I would. No, I actually would like to know, actually, from the WMATA side, what they're hearing and seeing, because if we're hearing and seeing, Paul, I'm sure that they're hearing and seeing too. Let's first go to Rico, and then we'll go to Tim.
Chairman, so on last week, I have a conversation with one of the Ramada Police Department with Ramada, and they're telling me they're having a problem with the VRI app for consumers who are deaf. And two officers are saying he have to write back and forth with a pen and paper. Do we need to bring back Ramallah again about what problems they're having with the VRI on the app? I thought we brought this up months ago, last year, and two officers have told me they're still having a problem when they went to, I think he said Brooklyn Station when he have a issue with a deaf consumer have a issue and they could not log in with the Purple app.
Yes. Okay. I don't. Maggie, can you help me here?
I thought I brought this up before. Because I want to make sure deaf consumers have access to an interpreter service. If they app is not working, what is the other around? How can officer serve deaf consumers?
The worker, plan B for you, Rico. What would plan B be if VRI isn't available for whatever reason? Yeah.
Plan B will be have an interpreter. Do they have an interpreter contract? If the VRI is not working, what is Plan B for Ramada? That's my
Okay.
question.
Thank you, Rico. Maggie, I bet you that's one you're going to have to research, right?
Yes, sir. So
Okay.
what we could do is ask for stats on the performance of the app. We also invite them back to talk through strategies. But let me do some research, reconnect with that group, and then I can get back to you via email and then to the group.
And I don't know if we have room at one of our. I don't know how quickly you can do the research. Yeah. It sounds like this would be something that would be a high priority. So you could get anything that you find out, you could communicate to us, and then maybe we could have a briefing. I'm not sure if it fits under bus rail or the next AAC, but I don't want it to go, I don't want it to go too long. I'd
So we
like
can.
the information, yeah, as soon as possible, and then we can schedule a briefing with the first opening either at an AAC or a bus rail.
Okay, excellent. So I'll engage tomorrow to see where we
Okay.
are, and
Right.
then we can schedule.
So we look for the status of VRI, and then if VRI isn't working, what is our plan
Alternate.
B? Yeah. Okay. Rico, and certainly your advice on purple and then also VRI, I mean, in the purple, and what you would, what would constitute an effective communication strategy for plan B.
No. Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you. That's great. Thank you, Rico.
You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, so Paul or Mr. Blake, why don't we start with you?
Yes, sir.
Tim's been out for about a week to 10 days. What are you hearing from your side?
Okay, yes. Good evening, everyone. Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, African American male. So, Mr. Chairman, let me just start by saying Tim has actually been around now nearly 2 years, actually. And when Tim first debuted in July of 2025, was it 25? Yes. So so a little over a year and a half, excuse me. When Tim debuted, it was in the midst of a major transition, both on service delivery and the call center. And the reaction of Tim was to be expected. We talked about it. A lot of folks back then and even today still don't really adore, I'll say, automated telephone systems, especially when it comes to their transportation there, and especially Metro Access, where they've been taking the human beings. Oops. Oops.
Here, we can hear you.
Sorry, that was, I'm sorry. Okay. Where they've been used to speaking to human beings for all of their trip needs for these 3 decades plus. So we pulled it back in terms of having it do much of the legwork and then allowed the customers to voluntarily use it. Well, what we did just a few weeks ago is go back to the original plan, which is to have Tim do much of the legwork. As I, you know, I say all the time, we encounter in many things in our lives these days, transportation, food, banking, medicine, and still though customers are not too thrilled. Many have adapted, and we're seeing some positive trend there, but it's going to take a little while. We're not at this stage inclined to pull it back, because the more we delay it, is the longer it's just going to take for customers to become adopted to the use of these digital tools like Tim and others, in terms of our efforts to help make scheduling, tracking their trips on Metro Access and alternative services easier and more convenient. So one of the things I'm hearing that we are going to change, or we're working on it, let me put it that way. I don't make immediate promises. Some customers, and it's been raised with the committee before on the web booking, but some customers are noting that you don't hear Tim say, "Would you like an Uber?" As an example. Whereas the human agents ask that. If you say to Tim, "I would like an Uber," Tim would note that. But that's the customer initiating the conversation about an alternative service versus the digital assistant doing it the way the human agents do it. So that's like one example of things that we want to change or improve upon, if you will. I'm hearing concerns about addresses, so we'll go and listen and find that, you know, there's maybe some misinterpretation from the customer standpoint, but we're working with all the concerns that we hear. The ones that are preference based, if you will, we gently work with the customer and encourage them. Those that are truly technical related issues, we're working as a team with the contractor to fix those immediately. Haven't been that many. Most of it has been, I can't get through I don't want to talk to the machine the minute they come on and say, I want an operator. In the past, you got the operator right away. Now, Tim is being a little more persistent and asking you to allow it to help you. I'll stop
Three
there for any
times, I believe.
questions.
I have a
Yes.
couple.
Yes, sir.
So I would like to see, as one of the improvements, rather than going back and arguing with Tim three times in a row, to have an option number three to go directly to a where's my ride or something like that, or a
Right.
representative.
Right.
So I don't want to have, I know what Tim's questions are going to be, going through the same repetitive questions over and over and over again. And so I'm wasting at least 5 minutes answering Tim's questions, and I know Tim's not going to be able to help me. So I need option three to go to a representative so that I can book my trip. What I'd
But
like to,
so
wait a
when you
minute,
say, okay.
option. So you have option one, option two, and option three, rather than go back and go through Tim three more times with the same set of questions three times, because he won't send me over to a representative until he's sure that I don't want him. I don't want to be asked three times. I want the option to be able to hit three or zero or something to go to a representative. That'd be number one. But the other question that I would like to have an answer to is, in the past 2 weeks, well, we've had Tim mandated as our trip taker. How many people have called in, and what is the satisfaction rate of Tim among the callers?
In terms of, well, I haven't taken a survey in terms of how satisfied a customer is with using Tim, but in terms of Tim resolving the matter, our data is about 11% of trips are resolved at Tim's edge. It stops at Tim one way or the other. Now, we
So
could take a
that means,
survey.
wait a minute, that means 89% of the trips are not resolved by Tim?
That means 89% of the calls Tim takes, excuse me, that come in, the agents are still dealing with them. Yes,
So
but we want
wait a
that
minute.
number to come down.
Yeah, I would too. So you have a failure rate of 89%.
That's not a failure, sir. No,
Yeah,
that's not a failure. See,
it
again.
certainly, if Tim is not able to resolve the trip,
No, see,
and the
now
wait a
listen
minute,
to
hang
what
on,
you.
hang on, hang on. Let me at least say it my way. If
Okay.
Tim is not able to resolve the trip, and you've got a rate of 89%, okay, we won't call it failure, but we're going to call where people are going back to
To the agent.
the agent because they're not getting their trip done particularly. Wouldn't you think that at 89%, there's something that needs to be done to fix that? People are going back not because they love talking to the person, but because they need the trip
Right.
reservation done and done correct the first time.
Right. And I would disagree that I definitely wouldn't call it a failure,
No, I won't call it
but
that.
going back to the point you made, I don't want to talk to Tim, and that's still the attitude of a lot of customers. You say Tim can't book your trip. Now, I don't know if we want to go through the specifics right now, but the fact of the matter is 99, I would dare say 99% of the things a human agent can do, Tim has been programmed to do.
Right.
The matter is will customers, adapt and adopt? And as they adapt, that number is naturally going to go higher. You have to think about
No,
all the
wait,
other,
but wait a minute. You're putting, wait a
yes.
minute. You're putting, okay, so you're putting the onus on the customer to adapt. And I'm saying to you that because people have worked with Tim and they haven't had a good experience, that's why you have an 11% success rate.
I
If
disagree
it
with that, Pat.
worked, no, I know you do, but
I
if it
disagree with that.
worked, if it worked and it was successful the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time I used it, I'd use it because I use it in other ways. I use it in banking, use it in other things. But here, it's not doing what I need it to do.
So
It's
here's the
not
challenge. Here's the
flexible enough.
challenge I would put. Now, well, I disagree with that again, because anything you could do with the human, you could do with Tim. And that has to be in the customers, including yourself and others. But here's the challenge I would put to you and other customers. The next time you call in, whether it's reservation or we can start with reservations, that's pretty simple. Let's be on the phone together so I can hear your story as to what you believe, and I'm not saying you personally, Pat. I mean, of course, we'll
Right.
deal
No,
with you,
I know.
but I'm saying I want to hear and see the examples that customers are saying the digital assistant can't handle. But a lot of the quote unquote, if we want to call them failures, are not that Tim is not able to handle it. The customers never give it a try. And if we continue to allow easy bypass, the adoption will never occur.
Okay, arguing back with you, since Tim takes over the call when I call in, and I don't have an option right off the bat to go to a reservationist because I go to Tim, and then you have an 89% rate where the customer has decided, rather than re-engaged him or hasn't engaged him three times, decides to go back to a reservationist. How is that the problem of the customer not trying? The
Well,
customer
again,
doesn't have a choice at the beginning to avoid Tim.
no, the Tim answers the phone.
Tim answers the phone, right? Tim, so the
Customer immediately says, I want an agent. Tim goes through the process, say, I can help you. I can do anything the agent can do. I want an agent. There's number two. It's that story like Peter. The third time, I want an agent. Well, Tim lets it go to an agent, never tries. And that is a lot of calls. And again, I would be up for the challenge to take a call, be on the call with a customer or many customers, so I can hear cases, because that'll help me learn, and others can learn, and we can help educate the system better. But the vast majority of that 89%, the overwhelming majority of that 89%, are people who are still in the stage that I am not going to use this. I don't talk to a machine. I want to talk to a person.
Okay, I won't argue with you further on it, because you could be correct. It just reminds me of HAL from 2001. Open the pod bay
I
board
like
doors
that
days. Anyway, okay, enough of me.
one.
I have a question for you. For Tim. I know when this was opened up to customers a little bit more aggressively, as you said at the last Metro Access meeting, when is there going to be some education in letting them know the options that Tim can do, so customers maybe can feel and see and understand that they can do a lot of similar things? I don't think the customers may not already know that Tim can rebook an Uber ride if you have that, or because they're just thinking, oh, I have to talk to a human. Maybe if we educate the customers and say, hey, Tim is doing specifically these main functions that the reservationist or the Where's My Ride agents were doing that are major functions. I think that will go a little bit better. When they call in, like, oh, my Uber failed. Oh, Tim, can we book the Uber? Customers may not know that, and they just think, oh, I got to go to a human being to do this.
I didn't know that,
No.
Paul.
And
No.
you have a great point, Paul, Mr. Subcommittee Chairman. And so what I would say is, right now there are like three people. They don't work for Access Services, but they're working in Access Services, calling customers one-on-one, encouraging them about the app and the use of Tim, but for a more broad base, more colorful, if you will, education marketing strategy. Let me turn to Terrian just to, I think she's
Only
online.
because this was sprung on them, I think that's why a lot of customers are acting so negatively versus if we educate and say, hey, Tim is going to be here. This is going to be how it's going to be. But this is what Tim offers. And if the customers knew what the options are, then maybe the attitude might change a little bit.
No, I'm with you. Tyrion, are you on? Do you want to share anything about a more broader base marketing and educational campaign? Okay,
So, good
maybe she.
afternoon again. This is
Yes.
Terri Hall, director for Metro Athens. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
We can
Yep, I
hear you.
can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. I'm sorry. African American female. All right, middle-aged director for Metro Access. So, to Mr. Blake's point, we are planning to do some outreach to the customers to
So Terry, you're coming in re really choppy.
about what Tim is doing, and I wanted to perhaps circle back with
Can't
you,
hear her. Right. So
Terry,
AAC
come up.
Subcommittee Chair Semaphore,
She's
about
on
maybe a
speaker, that's
video or
why.
something of that matter. We wanted to get it out there first, get the customers accustomed to it. I'm sorry. I don't know if they can hear me. Is that better,
No.
anyone?
If you come off camera, I think the camera takes up a lot of the bandwidth. Come off camera and try to repeat what you just said. Yeah,
Because I
thank
can't
you.
hear him.
Yes.
Much better.
Okay. Okay, is
Yes.
that better? Okay, great. Thank you for that. So, no, we are planning to do some customer outreach. Our initial phase was just to get it back out there in front of the customer base, get them accustomed to dealing with Tim. And then, based on customer feedback, we're going to tailor our customer outreach efforts to give the customers more details. So, this was just phase zero, if you would, of reintroducing it. And then we'll do more detailed, targeted things, which may include Mr. Semaphore reaching out to you for some assistance with that effort.
Okay.
All right. Other feedback on Tim?
Yes. So we have Sandy Newsell.
Hi, this is Sandy Newsell. I was entering numbers into Tim to, my ID, my birth date, whatever, my address, the address I'm going to. I'm typing it in, and when I'm on a phone screen typing in the numbers, there's no backup to erase it. So that would force me to, go to a, well, maybe I didn't even think about this, that I could have entered my phone number like I was typing letters, and then I would have had a backup erase option. But I would like to sort of reiterate and build on what Paul Semaphore said, that there should be an online tool that I could go to and get some training on how to use this. And I didn't find one that was very helpful. If Tim's been out there for 2 years, I can't believe there hasn't been a sort of a training guide already. That's just my 2 cents worth.
Well noted and accepted, and I think you'll see something really soon. I'll make that commitment.
Right. Chair Sheehan. I have Philippa, then Vanessa Coles, then Debbie.
Okay, why don't we go with those three, because we'll have other reports, and this was a good discussion, but we're sort of on Metro Access turf right now. But we'll go with those three and then we'll go to reports. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Philippa Mazzell. I was just going to say, well, first of all, I called today and it was more like a Tamia and not a Tim. It was a female voice on the digital assistant, which was fine. But I've
Yes,
had
that's
trouble.
true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we, what? So she has no name. She gets no identity. Anyway, we'll call her Tamia for now. But any rate, I didn't know if it had been updated or upgraded or anything. And I just tend not to fool with it because in the past, I would try to say things like R Street. And Tim just couldn't understand it. Instead of R Street Northwest, it was offering me something like Aurora Street in Arlington, and then some other street with an R in it somewhere else. And so I just gave up and went to the agent. Also, the fact that it asks you for information, and then when you get an agent, they're asking you for the information as well, not your birth date, but your ID number, et cetera. And that becomes frustrating because you're saying the same thing over and over and over. And like they pointed out, to me, kept trying to put me back into Tamia instead of with an agent. So, I just wanted to offer those things that I think I say R Street okay. When I say it to Siri, she understands, people understand, but Tamia didn't get it. So anyway, that's all.
We'll take, we've noted that one and the Aura versus Aurora. I'll run a test and let's see about that. I can't deny that, and we'll try it out.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So we had Vanessa Coles next.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Mr. Blake, I just wanted to mention, I use Tim. I like it. I enjoy it actually. But when I find it, what I find challenging is when there's an emergency and I have to keep saying, and I think someone mentioned that earlier, agent, agent, agent. If there's an actual emergency, I don't want to have to do that all the time. Maybe a zero or something that can get us straight to an agent, because there could be something going on that you really need to talk to somebody about. I enjoy Tim. I am finding when I'm giving addresses that I cannot say it slow. I gotta just say it. Like I had a 5-digit address. I had to do 12,000 in the other three numbers. She caught it, but when I slowed down and it didn't seem to understand it, so I had to just like say it, So
Yes,
little things to.
it does reflect or respond to natural language. So if you're trying to like teach it a word, it'll probably be more, as you're about to say, we'll accept it. I think it's fair. It's irritating sometimes. But can I offer one thing to the point you're making? And it's not just you. I've had this conversation with a couple of other customers, and you have to. I'm just offering up for a conversation in general, because I've had a couple of customers ask me that very same question. What if I'm in an emergency? Tim can't help me. If it's an urgent matter, I respect. You want to talk to a human being. You don't want to wait around, and I get that, under urgent matter. But if we're really talking about a sincere, serious emergency, even if it's involving a pickup with Metro Exodus, if you're in an emergency, please know that an emergency is 911. It's not Metro Exodus, because there's not a whole lot we can do.
No,
So,
it may be about reissuing a ticket or reissue or trying to catch a driver that took off with your purse or something. I'm not talking about a medical emergency, just
right.
trying to get back to the driver.
Gotcha. Urgent matter, a very urgent matter. And we're,
Right.
because when we hear emergency, we're thinking something totally unrelated to paratransit per se. But
No, not a medical.
I do understand that the point though is that when it's an urgent matter, what can we do? What can you do? We do have human agents for now. We may even have some digital agents on that, but we have human agents answering the text messages. I still want to hear feedback from customers if they ever send a text and it's not responded to very timely. But even the text messages eventually will have likely some digital support with it for prompt responses as well. But that is one way of reaching a human when you have a very, very urgent, i.e., emergency matter related to our service. Human agents right now are only the ones using the text message feature.
And I can attest to thank you. That's me.
Very good.
And
Maggie,
I've even had Tim to transfer for me. So there are times when it doesn't hear it, it'll transfer right to the agent. And I get assistance then too.
And to Philippa's point, and I apologize, I'll take the blame for calling the digital assistant Tim. The name, the official name is the Thinking Machine. So so trying to be clever and trying to give it a name, just said Tim, just put an I in the middle. Then when I first heard the voice 2 years ago, I said, yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to explain that one, but we're an open society. Let's be open-minded. But that's where the name Tim came from. But yes, it does have a female, a lovely female voice to it. And that's also just part of the whole planning of this effort.
Very good. Well, you didn't know you were going to be part of our public comment period so much, sir.
No, sir.
You can thank me later. All right. Well, very good. Mr. Blake, I appreciate you taking all the questions, particularly mine.
Yeah,
and,
she did. We do have one other question. Debbie Fisher has her hand.
Oh, right. Go ahead, Debbie. You're the last on this, and we'll jump to our reports.
Thank you. Quick question or thought, and that is, would you consider perhaps for an introductory period as you're trying to encourage use to give some sort of a small discount for the cost of a trip if for people who actually use and complete a trip through Tim?
You know, that, Ms. Fisher, I mean, I think that's a brilliant idea, only in the sense that we didn't try it with Tim, but there was an effort at one time, I want to say even when Mr. Kent was here, so it wasn't an original thought of mine, but in an effort to try to encourage customers to try booking through the web booking, the idea was floated about how about some free trips just for a period of time for anyone who would book their trip online. That didn't fly too well. And if you could imagine the overall circumstances of what the authority is facing these days and the challenges, anything that has a dollar amount attached to it becomes a challenging approach to solving a solution, if you get my drift.
I totally get it. I wasn't thinking free. I was thinking 10% or something. I mean, since there's a savings using the digital versus the human interface, maybe there is a short-term way just to encourage use that doesn't have a complete huge financial impact.
I'll make the personal promise that I'll raise it gently.
Okay.
I'll be walking the plank, if you will. So, but I'll
got it. Well,
raise
I don't want
it.
You to exactly walk the plank, but you get the idea.
Yes, ma'am. We're with
Thank
you on
you.
That. Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Debbie, that's a great idea. Say, I never thought of an incentive. So I may be walking that plank with you, sir. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. All right. Good.
Okay. Public comment.
What's that?
Can I go first with my report since we're
I certainly can, since we sort of were in your territory anyway. We'll do that.
All right. So I'll make this short and sweet. So we had our meeting last month. This is Paul Simmelfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair, African American male, 50 years old, shaved head, blue t-shirt on. And we definitely talked about what Mr. Blake alluded to in terms of using Tim to, help with the reservations and where's my ride processes. Obviously, this is now going out full blown. He said within a month or so, but it came out much sooner than we expected. And of course, in the last conversation, I'm not going to repeat it. This will be for the notes that there does need to be some tweaking and improvement. We hope to see that next month. The other thing is we talked about our new partner, Lyft. We had Mr. Blake had a representative from Lyft coming in, and in this introductory period, a group of customers is testing it. I hope by next month, we're able to share some other feedback about Lyft so far. It's been pretty good, I will say. I did experience a kickback ride where I had to ask Mr. Blake to change it to Uber because obviously staff is not able to do that at this point. To reissue another Lyft ride. There are some issues with a few addresses, but overall it's been, at least in my experience, good. But hopefully we can continue that discussion next month as there'll be a bigger rollout, I presume, in the future of Lyft after the introductory test period. The other piece I guess we'll discuss next month is this feasibility study. And that will be, as I'm looking at Dr. Butler, pretty much a full plate of an agenda. Any questions? Did I miss anything?
The one thing I would add, Paul, is that between the Lyft and also additional work that was done with Uber, the five or six locations where people were going to the back of buildings and that sort of thing, missing addresses and that sort of thing, a lot of those have been resolved. So, Mr. Blake, kudos on that. That was a lot of things that had backed up since October, and I've heard nothing but praise for the work that was done between you and Kevin and also Lyft. So, good for you.
And hopefully with Uber at some point, and I know Kevin was alluding to what's nice about Lyft is now I can see all my trips in my Lyft app that I have already downloaded, so I can activate it from there or from the one text string versus multiple in Uber. And hopefully Uber will follow suit in doing that at some point in the future. And right. I know Mr. Blake is making a note of that. That way, you know, it streamlines the process for customers. Any questions from anyone? Because obviously I don't want to take up too much of their valuable time, but I think those three topics, the feasibility study, more feedback about Lyft, and by next we talk about a little bit more about Tim. The texting, I will say, as an aside, your staff, Mr. Blake, is obviously I'm one of the heavy texters. They've been a little bit more responsive, especially when it's certain things that a supervisor needs to, you know, take care of or fix. I'm able to text very precisely, and the timing, sometimes it may be 10, 20 minutes, but it's been better than getting it an hour later. But at least they are somewhat responsive. Can it be improved? Yes, but it's gotten a little bit better.
Very good, Paul. Thank you, sir. Let's see. I didn't see Tino. I don't know if he snuck in when other things were going on. Is Tino here?
This is Sandy. Tino is out of the country. He's in Athens, and he asked me and Steve to cover for him. So, good Steve, do you want to do the report, or do you want me to do the
report? Why don't you do it, and I'll add to it.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the bus rail subcommittee report, referring to the March 9th meeting, started off with Steve Caffin talking about rear bus boarding, rear door boarding for buses, that it increases efficiency. It's not appropriate for wheelchairs, but it can help with getting people on and off the bus a little bit faster. There was some allusion to the question whether rear door bus boarding might be increasing fare evasion. And interestingly, I heard at the WMATA board meeting in March that the statistics show that fare evasion is equal front door boarding or rear door boarding. So that in and of itself is not an issue. Or not a reason to deny people the rear bus boarding. But for safety reasons, at the discretion of the operator and possibly after dark, maybe it's not appropriate to have rear door bus boarding. Excuse me. And then we went on to wayfinding focus group. There was report out about, you know, the signage at L'Enfant Plaza discussion would be in mid-April. Now it's looking like it'll be in mid-May. excuse me. Pardon me. Maggie reported on the focus group in February, the meeting down at WMATA headquarters, and this was being discussed at the March meeting for bus rail subcommittee, that WMATA's sense is that some of the suggestions we made at the February 6th meeting, you know, can probably be implemented soon, They may be implemented sort of on version 1.1, or they may not be feasible to implement at this time. Fair enough. You know, some of the things that may not be feasible might be sort of pie in the sky dreams. And everything has to be taken into consideration, including
until 8:50.
Cost factor. So then the counter, you know, balance to that, the signage working group point of view was that the suggestion that was brought up in December by WMATA staff to have the wayfinding signs that will be vertical on pillars and pylons that have the name of SAM's station ahead maps, that it was unilaterally or completely agreed by the signage working group that those should read from top to bottom, although Metro had suggested that they were going to roll out signs reading from bottom to top. We also had some discussion about, you know, font size and color and doing things, just tweaking things a little bit better to make signage just a little bit better. Unanimous, that's the word I needed. Unanimously, the signage working group thought that the station ahead maps that read vertically should read from top to bottom, as we all do when we're reading text. I think that's pretty much it.
You covered it all.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about safety with respect to rear door boarding, and we also covered that this afternoon. So that's good. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Sandy or Steve? I don't think so. Okay. Very good. We are at, what are we at? 7:20? 7:22. Any other business to come before this committee? Hearing none. Dr. Butler, would you like to give your announcement, and we will give everyone 5 minutes back?
Sure will. So thank you all, committee members, Metro staff, guests, interpreters, and members of the public for your participation this evening. If you have questions, comments, and concerns, please send those to Metro AAC Chair at WMATA.com or by phone at 202-962-1100.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Maggie. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
So moved.
Move in a second. How about that? All those in favor?
Yes.
Good to hear everybody yell. Good. All right. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good meeting. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, everybody. Nice meeting.